Thank you all, and welcome to Mail.ru Group's second quarter 2020 unaudited financial results conference call. I'm joined by Boris Dobrodeyev, Matthew Hammond, Fyodor Rubtsov, Vladimir Gabrielyan, and Vladimir Nikolsky. Despite the removal of lockdowns, at present we are continuing to work remotely to ensure health and safety for all of our employees. Hence, as with the Q1 call, we do apologize in advance as coordination during Q&A might cause some minor delays in our responses as we are all in different locations. During the Q&A session, we would also kindly ask you to pose one question at a time. We will certainly take the time to answer all of your follow-up questions and simply want to keep things manageable. There are some webcast slides we will be using during the call. There is a lot more useful reference data available in the quarterly slide deck located in the IR section of our website. Before I pass it on to Matthew, who will provide a summary of our results and outlook, I will read the safe harbor statement. Please note that this press release contains statements of expectations and other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the group. The forward-looking statements in this release are based upon various assumptions that are inherently subject to significant uncertainties and contingencies, which are difficult or impossible to predict and may be beyond the group's control. Many factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those discussed in the forward-looking statements included herein, including those referenced under risk factors in the group's public filing. We would like to direct you to read the forward-looking disclaimer at the back of our release, particularly with respect to the possible differences between management and IFRS accounts. And now, Matthew, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us. It hardly needs stating that the backdrop to Q2 was unprecedented and presented a number of new challenges for every area of the business. This is from the way we managed our people to the pace of our internal development and the product rollout, engagement trends across multiple segments versus typical seasonality, customer acquisitions in areas such as games, the speed of penetration in areas such as e-grocery, e-commerce, or online education, and the ride-hailing performance across the regions. They were all affected in different ways. This was all happening in an environment of extreme macro uncertainty combined with oil and FX volatility. However, notwithstanding all of this, our results show that we managed to adjust and adopt to the new realities quickly. And indeed, we have benefited from increased time spent online with revenue growth of above 25% to above 25 billion rubles. We continue to invest into our business and our ecosystem, and we accelerated the launch of new services and existing product updates. We added extra content in games and tried to maximize audience reach and be as close and valuable to our users and advertising clients as possible during this challenging time. The diversified nature of our business allows us to utilize performance of pro-COVID revenue streams such as games, online education, and IVAS to more than compensate for advertising weakness, despite advertising being our largest revenue contributor heading into the second quarter. I want to focus on some key areas, including advertising, IVAS, games, new initiatives, ecosystem development, and ongoing investments, as well as joint ventures and outlook, to give you the fullest possible picture of the business. First, on advertising. Advertising accounted for 38% of the group's revenues heading into the second quarter and has a clear correlation with GDP. As we stated with Q1 results, ads started to see adverse impacts in March. These were much more pronounced at the beginning of April, which was the bottom in terms of ad performance. Improvements in the second half of April carried into May as lockdowns started to be eased. June continued to show recovery, albeit at a slightly lower pace than May, with overall 5.2% year-over-year advertising revenue decline in the second quarter versus 9.3% growth in the first quarter. And this is clearly ahead of the underlying market in the second quarter. Visibility remains limited, and it's challenging to estimate the ultimate shape and slope of further recovery, with the situation still very dynamic. However, as it stands right now, July is looking broadly flat to slightly positive, and we anticipate Q3 will likely be at or around that level. In terms of verticals, FMCG, household goods, health, medicine, telcos, and games have been amongst the best performing in the second quarter. On the other side of the balance sheet, travel, real estate, transport, sport, and fitness have all been amongst the underperformers, especially travel and transport. Some of the verticals where there have been sizable improvement versus initial weakness include jewelry, finance, gifts, and souvenirs. In the meantime, we expect the structural shift to digital to remain intact and assume that our 5.2% online advertising decline suggests that we might have gained share during the most challenging macro conditions, with budgets shifting to social within digital during the time when advertisers were consolidating budgets around their most effective advertising channels. Most importantly, VK managed to grow revenues by 8% in the second quarter, which means that the center of our ecosystem is in a very strong position. We believe such solid results come as a consequence of all of the completed and ongoing ad tech enhancements. We remain dedicated to providing the highest possible ROIs to our clients while making services increasingly relevant for users as reflected in our group's reach, engagement, and time spent trends. As a reflection of our continuous efforts, latest local marketing expert survey ranked MyTarget ad platform at the top of the programmatic, big data, and video ad network categories versus competition. In the meantime, our advertiser base is well diversified, with no verticals outside of FMCG and e-commerce accounting for more than 10% of advertising revenues. Additionally, around 70% of our ad revenues come from performance formats, and SMEs generate less than a quarter of our ad revenues, with significant room for expansion given access to the around 3 million businesses present on VK and OK social networks alone. With our continued investments into ad tech, ongoing growth of performance, advertising share gains, diversification, and growth of the advertising base, and an expansion of the advertising network, we target further market share gains looking ahead. Secondly, gains. Our mobile focus and fully online distribution made us well positioned for the lockdowns. Despite all of our staff working from home since mid-March, we've managed to launch three new games, Warface Breakout, Dino Squad, and World Above Cloud Harbor, and smoothly integrate the Belnem game studio and scale their Zero City mobile title ahead of the peak of the pandemic. Overall, games has been amongst the industries which have seen the biggest benefit from lockdowns. We had around 700 million registered users globally as at the end of the second quarter, which is up 26% year over year, with MyGames revenues rising by about 46% year over year to 11 billion. MyGames now accounts for a record 43% of group revenues versus around 46% for communications and social. 67% of our games revenues came from mobile, and according to Sensor Tower data, customer spending across mobile games grew globally around 21% year over year in the first half, which compares to around 39% growth of in-app spending across our mobile games portfolio during the period. This suggests we've grown nearly two times faster than the market year to date. Revenue growth from the US, France, and UK was particularly strong, up 74% in the second quarter, and the international revenue share of MMO was rising to around 74% in the same period. The top five revenue-generating mobile games in the second quarter were War Robots, Hustle Castle, Left to Survive, Lovesick, and Zero City, which suggests solid traction with both existing and new titles. April was the strongest month for MyGames, with games revenue growth in excess of 60%, with the obvious positive effects of the peak of lockdown and FX. This started to moderate in May as lockdowns started to be eased and the ruble started to recover and further moderated in June. Assuming no return to lockdowns and further currency shocks, we anticipate a more normalized revenue growth in the second half. Strong revenues were also combined with above normal profitability, given elevated engagement combined with attractive advertising pricing on customer acquisition at the trough of the advertising market. This has also since normalized. That means profitability peaking gains in 2020 might be skewed towards the second quarter. In the meantime, we'll now be focused on maintaining the newly acquired cohorts and maximizing their long-term value through managing churn in the second half. Monthly active users of our games portfolio was up 9% in June, which is encouraging. We have above 15 games in the development pipeline suitable for launch in the next 12 months, and hence we're confident about the pipeline and the outlook. With all of this in mind, we anticipate full year 2020 revenue growth for games at or above the level seen in 2019, with margins at around the same level as seen in 2019. Also, in order to continue to build understanding of our games and its strategy, we plan to hold another teach-in during the third quarter on our games business. Third, IVAS. IVAS revenues benefited from the lockdown with increase in social games, virtual gifts, and stockers, which led to Q2 IVAS revenues growing 16.7% in the second quarter. Music streaming was another driver, albeit the main use case is linked to transit. Following the exit from the lockdown regime, we anticipate IVAS to return to a more normalized single-digit growth, especially given the rising competition in music. Fourth, new initiatives. The new initiatives segment revenue in the second quarter grew by 139% to 2.7 billion. Here we'd like to highlight the two largest contributors, online education and EULA. First of all, online education. This remains the largest contributor to new initiatives, with revenue exceeding 1 billion in the second quarter, growing 265% year over year. EdTech now accounts for nearly 40% of our other revenue line item. The business saw a material increase in usage during the lockdown, with Skillbox users having watched over 1 million lessons and teachers having checked over 200,000 pieces of homework. The number of new paying students grew quarter over quarter by 46%, with a 34% share of active students up from 31% in the first quarter, with Q2 traffic up 34% quarter over quarter. Skillbox launched over 80 new courses during the pandemic alone, with the most popular disciplines being design, management, and game development. The minutes of watch lessons on Geekbrains were up 83% year over year and up 40% quarter over quarter, with the number of new paying students growing quarter over quarter by 68%. The most popular disciplines were product management, web development, Python development, and internet marketing. Product management courses grew by 325%, design by 198%, and analytics and machine learning by 185%. Following the end of lockdown, the platform saw a moderation in activity, with the share of active students in June back to March levels, although the total number of active and paying users still up significantly on a year-over-year basis. We see online education amongst the sectors most positively impacted by the pandemic in terms of stimulating its penetration level and ultimate market size potential. While we are currently focused on the digital careers vertical, we see opportunities in the broader segments of online education as well. EULA. EULA delivered a solid 25% year-over-year growth in the second quarter, with revenues of just shy of 570 million rubles. Following the adverse impact of engagement during the peak of the lockdowns in March and early April, MAU has since recovered and returned to growth at 27 million, which is plus 6% year-over-year, with new listings and contacts growing 23% and 15% respectively in June. Despite the challenging macro backdrop, EULA is well-positioned, given that its largest exposure sits in general listings and services, which counts for over 50% of the revenues and tends to be more resilient. In the meantime, integration with the group allows for higher relative efficiency, with EULA maintaining growth while being able to reduce the proportionate level of burn on a year-over-year basis in the second quarter. The focus for EULA for the rest of 2020 will remain on further development of general jobs and services verticals, and we estimate that full-year 2020 revenues will be between 2.7 and 3 billion rubles, and a proportionate EBITDA loss at or below the 2019 level. Fifth, investments in ecosystem development. The current situation has accelerated the long-term trends that we've talked about for a while, namely the ongoing digitalization of the economy. Technology spend will therefore likely see a multi-year period of strong growth as business models transform across industries, which over time should mean a much larger total addressable market for internet-focused companies such as ourselves. Although non-essential discretionary spend remains on hold, we've continued to invest heavily into our business through the pandemic in order to be able to deliver a much stronger growth and reach much larger scale in the coming years. In some areas, we've chosen to accelerate product rollout and release new product, especially around communication and entertainment. Furthermore, the pandemic presents us with many new users, and we want to retain as many of them as possible. In June, we officially launched VK Connect, which is our unified ID, with nearly 2 million registered XBK accounts in less than a month since rollout. In April, we started sales of Capsule, our smart speaker, powered by the Marussia virtual voice assistant, with Marussia being integrated across the group's services this year. We've also scaled the scope of services inside Kumba, our loyalty program, which now also includes temporary special offers and aims to increase the number of services our users consume. We launched new products like clips and short videos, which saw 44 million users and over 3 billion views during the first month, with daily views already exceeding 200 million. We will invest 1 billion rubles into the rise of clips as the go-to local short video platform. Unified video platforms rollout is in the works as we continue to believe in further growth of video in sharing of online, in terms of share of online time spent. We also launched Payday and VK Donut for B2B, having significantly enhanced the group's video and audio calls as well as music and e-commerce offering and scaled VK mini apps and the My Game store. This means that our ecosystem strategy remains fully intact and investments into the core businesses as well as the key JVs continue at least as planned to ensure future leadership across the core verticals. Sixth, joint ventures. First of all, O2O. Delivery Club continued to expand in the second quarter, further extending its leadership position. Q2 revenues were up 2.9 times year over year to 2.5 billion rubles, with a record 16.1 million orders in the second quarter, up 3 times year over year. Delivery Club has more than doubled the amount of connected restaurants to over 24,000 in June, and its presence expanded to 208 geographies, which cover around 50% of the Russian population. Orders are balanced between own delivery and marketplace at 56% 1P share. Unit economics continues to improve in the second quarter on the back of upgrades of the logistics tech, the application of algorithmic zones, and further rollout of AI-based scheduling system. Delivery time is now at around 34 minutes versus 43 minutes during the fourth quarter of 2019. The newly launched takeaway service already has over 2,500 connected restaurants. Additionally, Delivery Club has been broadening its customer offer through delivery partnerships with food retailers, along with a delivery partnership with City Mobile, which allows it to extend restaurant delivery zones. Non-restaurant orders continue to expand strongly. Overall, Delivery Club is expected to at least double its revenues in 2020, which is more ambitious than our pre-COVID target. Samarkand is now servicing over 44,000 orders a day, with 3.6 million orders in the second quarter, which is up around 42 times year over year. And Q2 revenue up 3.5 times quarter over quarter and over 70 times year over year to above 2 billion, with the number of dark stores exceeding 230. Samarkand launched deliveries in Moscow and Leningrad regions through partnerships with UDrive and plans integrations with City Mobile and AliExpress. Despite the adverse impact of COVID-19, City Mobile saw material recovery in June, with rides 6% above pre-COVID levels at the beginning of July. In Q2, City Mobile grew rides 3 times year over year to 35.7 million, including positive growth on a like-for-like basis in June. City Mobile monthly active user base increased 3.2 times year over year to a new peak of 3.4 million. Q2 GMV rose by 1.8 times year over year to 7.6 billion. Delivery service launched in April made a sizable contribution to its recovery, seeing high single digit week over week growth. Delivery Club, Spare Market, Savznoy, amongst the key partners with planned integrations with Spare Logistics, Eula, Samarkand, AER, amongst others. City Mobile is now present in 23 geographies, which accounts for around 40% of the Russian population, with launches resuming in June and further rollout planned for Q3. Despite COVID-19-related costs, unit economics were positive in Moscow and the Moscow region in the second quarter, with contribution per trip 50% higher in May versus March, and some other regions approaching positive unit economics. City Mobile expects more than a 50% increase of GMV to be contribution positive by the end of Q3. City Mobile is a top three ride-hailing operator in all the cities of presence and top two in 17 out of the 23 locations. In most cities, with a population of over 1 million, City Mobile holds 20+% market share, including Moscow. The goal is to be a strong number two local ride-hailing player overall by the end of 2020. Despite the COVID-19 shocks, City Mobile expects to more than triple rides in full year 2020 to over 230 million. AER continues to see rising engagement and volume growth on cross-border, and especially the domestic marketplace side. The platform's daily active users stood at 8.8 million in June, up 17% year over year, with over 130 million registered users, up 10% year to date. June GMV was up around 34% month over month and up 60% versus April. Domestic marketplace continues its very strong growth with over 14,000 local sellers offering 2 million SKUs and the GMV share approaching 20% in June, with a goal to approach around 50% in 2022-23. In the past 6 months, there has been a shift in demand on AER from accessories towards higher average check items, including the rise of categories like fashion, with an average check of the platform expanding by around 38% year over year in June. Logistics also continues to improve, with the ultimate goal to offer 10-day average delivery from China. Currently, users of AliExpress Plus can already receive orders from China within 10 to 15 days, versus typical 50 to 60-day delivery less than 2 years ago. The number of pickup points rose over 3 times in the past year. Overall, the AER JV will continue to make steps towards its ambitious goal of reaching 10 billion US GMV in 2022-23, with 50 million in terms of annual customers. We remind that losses from AER and the O2O JV are not reflected in net profit under management accounts until next year for reasons we explained during our last call. However, for maximum transparency in the meantime, we will continue to give the number. The group share of the net results of these JVs stood at 2.1 billion rubles in the second quarter, which compares to 2.2 billion in the first quarter, despite the strong quarter-over-quarter growth in the size of both of the JVs. Finally, outlook. The local economy is expected to decline by around 4 to 6% in 2020, and we obviously have no visibility on any potential second wave or its effect. Notwithstanding this, we still expect to deliver full year 2020 like-for-like revenue growth in the teens, with the potential to exceed the 100 billion ruble revenue milestone. This compares with the 103 to 105 billion guidance that we provided ahead of the pandemic, when the Russian economy was expected to expand by at least 2%. We will continue to invest in the business, and the revenue mix in 2020 will be different to what we had assumed at the beginning of the year. This has the obvious effect on margins. Along with ongoing investments into the ecosystem development and enhancements of our product offer, as well as around 1 billion in COVID-19 related support initiatives, profitability will be impacted by the mix effect, with lower profitability of games versus advertising, especially as games at customer acquisition cost normalizes versus the second quarter, and advertising having a higher share of fixed cost. A lot of this, however, will reverse in 2021, as the local economy is expected to rebound. In the meantime, our ongoing investments should put us in a position to deliver 25+% growth in a more normalized market environment. And we remind that some of the fastest growing businesses like food delivery, ride hailing, or e-commerce will not contribute to achieving this result being equity accounted. Meanwhile, we have a robust balance sheet with net debt position at the end of the second quarter of 8 billion rubles. We have another $82 million contribution to make towards the AER JV in October and 4.6 billion ruble payment due to the O2O JV in November, subject to KPIs. Yet debt facilities are at historically low rates, and our group offers solid free cash flow generation capabilities, which provides us with comfort and confidence as we continue to develop and strongly grow our business despite the current adverse backdrop. With that, I would thank you, and we'll give as much time as we can to Q&A.
Operator, we're ready to start the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you're joining us via the web, please click the Request to Speak flag icon. If you change your mind, please press star followed by 2. When preparing to ask a question, please make sure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Miriam Issa from Morgan Stanley. Miriam, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the call and congrats on a great set of results. My first question is on the guidance for gaming. So you said that you're expecting revenue growth to be at or above 2019 levels. If I take the low end of that guidance, then it does imply quite a big slowdown in the second half. So just wondering if that is you being conservative or if you're seeing any noticeable change in customer retention trends versus normal. So if you could talk a bit about what you're seeing in terms of customer retention compared to history and then also what you're doing to retain new customers, that would be great. Thank you.
Miriam, hi, it's Matthew. I'll start and then I think Boris will add a few words. I think you would understand that we're in quite a unique situation here. The second quarter obviously saw extremely unique set of situations where people had, you know, significant amounts of time on their hands. This is obviously not just for us. You've seen this replicated globally with gaming companies. So obviously we had much higher engagement. You had, and that's for both new and existing users. You have obviously, as lockdowns ease, seen some of that activity come off. What I would say is, and I point to the 9% year-over-year growth in June in terms of the active daily users, suggesting that we are retaining a good number of the users. It's not clear exactly what level of those cohorts we'll be able to retain going forward. And clearly, we can't replicate the Q2 result going forward in a more normalized environment. I'm sure we all understand that. So I think that looking at or above the 19 result, yes, clearly implies a slower rate than you've seen in the second quarter, but it still implies continued very solid growth in the second half. And sorry, I would also say that the customer acquisition cost was obviously significantly lower in the second quarter than what we might have expected. We will invest in the second half to retain some of those new users. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And then my second question would just be on the delivery or logistics opportunity for City Mobile and Delivery Club. How do you think about how big that opportunity could be and how you'll manage those services as rides start to normalize?
Thank you, Miriam. So first on the core business, I think that in terms of food delivery, we actually see very strong effects from the COVID and quite strong traction continues for the delivery business. Even though delivery is slightly off its peak, I think still the residual effect is very strong. And June, July show very, very good dynamics for food delivery. So we are extremely bullish on this business. While City Mobile has fully recovered and already has been showing positive results in comparison to pre-COVID levels. So speaking about the last mile, we generally call it the last mile opportunity. We are still in early days, but already the number of orders is like in the daily number of orders is more than tens of thousands per day. So for some of these third like last mile orders and segment, and yes, we are pretty bullish. We think that we are adding a new logistic layer for the urban life. We've seen very strong demand from B2B. Also very strong demand and very strong, thanks to the crisis, a lot of opportunities emerged. So we see a lot of demand from e-commerce. we see a lot of demand from offline players. So recently we struck an agreement between Delivery Club, City Model, and Sviaznoy, and we're starting to deliver from local shops. And also we see a lot of new logistic enabling opportunities. So for example, City Model started to deliver food from Delivery Club for more remote areas. We think that this is potentially a very, very big market, and we're just in the early days of it.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Slava Bichurov from Goldman Sachs. Slava, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. My question is on advertising revenues. Can you comment how sizable was the contribution of games in app revenues, advertising revenues in Q2 within the overall advertising revenues? Or maybe in other words, how this minus 5% advertising would look like if we adjust for games advertising revenues? Was there any meaningful difference on the back of that? Thank you.
So generally, games contributed for less than 10% of the overall ad revenues. So obviously, they were one of the best performance lines of advertising, but they were not the only factor to the outperformance. So I think like the biggest, one of the biggest factors of well, as you know, we have been consecutively outperforming market for the last 4 years with just a few exceptions. And I think it's not just about the gaming segment. It's also about the constant work with improving the performance mechanisms. And also, as we stated a couple of quarters ago, we put very strong emphasis on small and medium-sized businesses, and now this initiative starts to give a lot of fruit, come to fruition. So actually within the group, small and medium-sized businesses, thanks to both new products and the support that we gave, have shown positive growth during the COVID period, and they were also one of the like contributors to the positive revenue growth effect, especially the new mobile ad solution for advertisers, where generally as a small and medium-sized business, you don't need to go to, you know, a clumsy desktop site, but you just can start to advertise your goods in VK, your favorite social network, just in two clicks. It helped a lot, and actually we see very strong attraction, not just in terms of the revenue from small and medium-sized business, but in the overall number of SMB advertisers on our platform. So talking about the other segments that have been resilient through Q2, these are FMCG, household goods, health, medicine, and telcos. So it's not just about games. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot. My second question would be, do you have any thoughts on the impact from the recent regulatory proposals with regards to the tax maneuver in the IT sector? At least directionally, do you think it's an opportunity or a threat for you? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for this question. So obviously, we think it is an opportunity. We are quite enthusiastic about this whole set of measures. I think the whole, you know, the whole set of measures around this maneuver and the atmosphere surrounding it is extremely positive for the IT sector. It's also positive. We regard it as an opportunity for Mail.ru groups specifically. So according, again, we of course want to be conservative, but according to our estimations, these measures will have a positive impact on games and potentially B2B revenue. And we think that we will get extra tax benefits in the field of social tax as well as income tax. So this is how we look at it currently. But of course, it's a law which still has not been fully adopted, and the situation is obviously dynamic.
Okay, thank
but
you very much.
We think that generally it's very positive for our gaming business potentially.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Kirill Palerin from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on games, but focusing on the margin side of it. Your guidance flat year on year implies quite a material reinvestment in the second half. Or in other words, I think it means that the usual spike in margin in the fourth quarter is unlikely this year. So can you please talk more about it? Is it only related to retaining the new users, or are there any other particular areas of investment in games over the next 6 to 12 months?
No, hi, it's Matthew. Yeah, I mean, I would say no, I don't necessarily agree with you that there won't be an increase in margin in the fourth quarter. As you know, fourth quarter tends to have some of the most expensive advertising, so we tend to be more conservative in terms of marketing costs in the fourth quarter. I don't think that will particularly change this year. I think there will definitely be some reinvestment in the third quarter, especially around the new cohorts. And we obviously have a pretty full release cycle too. And as you know, the margin is very much a function of timing and mix. So I think we would expect to see definitely improvements in the fourth quarter, but we will continue to definitely invest too. At the same time, during the next 6 months, we've got two mobile titles, two console and one on PC in terms of the launches. So it's a very significant ecosystem that we're building. And we still expect to have, you know, a solid margin and very good growth. I think that, you know, Q2 clearly was exceptional circumstances, and we will see a more normalized environment in the second half.
Okay, great. Thank you. And, just my second question, on AliExpress, given the ambitious targets, GMV targets, especially in the local segment, can you talk a bit about key advantages of AliExpress local platform versus the current market leaders? What is different in AliExpress offering? What will help it to gain market share in the local market?
So obviously this is a question that you know, potentially should be addressed to AliExpress directly. We as shareholders see that the AliExpress Russia has absolutely unparalleled advantage in the audience and transacting audience of around 25 million annual transacting users. And we think that the process of, you know, the right product and marketing mechanisms to convert this audience into a local commerce audience, it is a huge advantage. As you obviously know, that customer acquisition cost is one of the biggest both obstacles and costs for e-commerce business. Also, I think it has a brilliant team. It has integration into both Mail.ru ecosystem with its potential social commerce facilities and all the tech that we possess, as well as ties to Alibaba, which is one of the biggest e-commerce players in the world, both with a lot of expertise and tech. Also, obviously, very close ties, for example, with a company like Cainiao, which is one of the biggest worldwide logistic providers. So I think it has all the benefits and opportunities to be a top player, not only in cross-border, but also to gain share in local. And actually, from what we see in according to like the last month of performance, a team has done very good job, and it's growing very fast and local. And actually, it's just not been, it was not in the business of buying $1 for two. Actually, we've seen that it managed to grow fast in a very efficient and prudent way.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Zishan Tiron from Bank of America. Zishan, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, it's actually Cesar. But so I have three questions. Thanks for the call and for the opportunity to ask questions. I have three questions, if that's okay. The first one is really on the advertising trend. If you look at the past couple of weeks, I mean, have the trends been even better than the -5% which you reported? Second question, I mean, you touched a bit on the margins and the investments, mainly on the games. Just wanted to understand as well on the social networking, the way you report the margins. Have you delayed any expenses from Q2 into Q3 potentially? And then the last question would be really on the difference between IFRS and management account. It seems that potentially due to the faster growth in games, that gap has widened again. Any comments you can make on that would be helpful. Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Matthew. I'll start, then Boris, and then Fedor. So in terms of the trend, I know what it is you want me to say, and I know that everyone wants sort of week by week or day by day commentary. I can't add that much more than what we just said as in the introductory comments. What I would say is there is clearly some improvement on an ongoing basis. It is clearly getting better, and the entire downturn in advertising was clearly less severe than we had feared in April when we spoke after the Q1 results. And actually, when we were speaking at the Q1 results, and we said that at the time we expected April to be down somewhere between 10 or 15%, I think that was probably the bottom of the market in terms of what we were seeing on the demand and pricing side. And things then did see some very solid improvement. I really don't want to get into a week by week type commentary, but what I think we can say is, visibility on the improvement is limited, and it is difficult for us to make very long ranging forecasts. But when we said that we were expecting July to be flat to potentially positive, that is clearly better than it was a couple of weeks ago. So clearly things continue to improve, but I would caution people of reading too much into week by week trends in the very near term until we get some further visibility. I think we are definitely past the worst, but the slope of recovery remains somewhat unclear. I'll pass on to Boris.
Yes, just on the H2 investments, as we stated before, we plan to continue to develop our ecosystem. So there are a couple of exciting buckets of products that we will plan to invest in. Of course, firstly, I want to mention Clips. It's the new short video product that we launched around 2 months ago. So it's actually showing fantastic growth. So now it's about 200 million views per day of this short video, and actually all the characteristics of the quality of this use, the time spent are very high and growing, as well as an engagement growing, and we plan to continue to invest in this product and gain more market share and engagement here. So we are very very positive about this product. We also stated before that we want to create a unified video product for the whole group, and we stick to this plan. So some of the investments are related to this. So we have progressed a lot with group video calls, and we think that we are by far the leading player in Russian player in terms of the technology and the number of audio video calls and group calls. And we plan to continue to develop this technology and products. So we have recently updated our music section, and it does really well. We develop our Comba, our loyalty program, and as well we invest into the SMB products and the internal e-commerce platform that would allow merchants, small and medium-sized businesses, to better sell their goods on our social networks as well as outside of them. So as COVID has shown, there is a very, very strong demand for this product. Of course, there are some more potential interesting segments and directions, such as capsules, smart speaker, Marusha, also some ecosystem products for games, such as Game App Store. So there are pretty of exciting things going on in Mail.ru Group. And here I pass it on to Fyodor on the IFRS versus management accounts question. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Anna.
Oh, sorry, I'm so sorry, Alfredo.
Sorry. We need to answer the second part. Fedor,
I'm sorry. We appear to have lost Fedor. Cesar, it's Matthew. I'll understand. I'll answer your management accounts question. Sorry, we've lost Fedor there somewhere. It, very simply, it's to do with the very fast acceleration of games. Obviously, you have the main difference, as you know, between IFRS and management accounts is the way that games are treated. When games accelerate at the sort of speed that they did versus other revenues, that's obviously going to cause the difference, because obviously IFRS defers much of the revenue, whereas, as you know, in management accounts, we largely cash account for it. So when we get paid the dollar, we recognize the dollar. But IFRS has over a 3 billion ruble deferral in the first half as a result of the fast growth. This should even out over the next few quarters. Does that answer the question?
We have Fredo back on the line now.
Oh.
Fredo, when you're ready.
Yes, Cesar.
I think I've answered, but can we ask Cesar if that answers the question?
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. So yeah, okay. Basically the difference was mostly due to the acceleration and growth of MMO in the second quarter. So clearly, that was the key effect. Or with no changes to the underlying deferral models or the in-game items lifespan or anything like that.
Next question, please, operator.
Our next question comes from Anna Kuprianova from Gostrom Bank. Anna, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation and very good numbers. My question is regarding your online advertising. Namely, could you please comment how do you feel in position regarding market? I mean, obviously, your online advertising revenues quite encouraging. I just interested what and how do you estimate your market share or your trend versus market? And I will ask you a short question after. Thank you.
So thank you for your question. Obviously, I think as we said before, we are share gainers for at least last 4 years for most of the quarters I remember. So I think it's not an exception here. So obviously, thanks to a number of factors. First, our very good positioning in mobile market, in video and native advertising market. We are strategically very well positioned. And as market continues to invest a lot into social advertising, at the same time, you know, the focus that we have made on performance advertising as well and smaller pieces of tech and initiatives, they are gaining a lot of share and a lot of traction, and I think this is what you see in Q2. This is what you see in Q2 results, and obviously this quarter where share gainers as the market is down significantly more than our -5% for the Q2.
And can you please just roughly estimate what is your share versus 16% before? Where could it be as a result of second quarter?
I don't know, guys. If you're ready to, well, I think we need to see all the official numbers from the other players, right? From the market. So we just don't want to speculate. I think what is like really obvious now is that we are share gainers. The scale of this gain will be clear when we see all the official numbers from other players as well as big agencies.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And my second question is regarding your new initiatives as a business unit. Could you give please some understanding how can we look into second quarter in the second half in terms of EBITDA loss in this business unit? Where do you expect maybe full year EBITDA loss for new initiatives?
Okay, I'll take this question. Yeah, so first of all, I'd like to remind you that New Initiatives is not really a business unit. It's a bunch of different segments which are which may actually
okay,
be subject
that's true,
to different
yeah.
trends. Well, yeah, for example, it includes online education, which is kind of one trend. Then you have EULA, and then you have a bunch of new investments. However, all these business units are... are actually similar in that we consider them our great investment opportunities and we keep investing in there. So as we said in our statements, we will continue to invest heavily in the second half, and we have mentioned a few numbers in our statement. While we don't give specific line by line guidance or segment by segment guidance, we have given some indication as to where EULA would head in the second half. So we said that it's going to have revenues between 3.5 and 4 billion for the year with an EBITDA margin or with an EBITDA proportional burn less than last year. Then in online education, we have very good businesses, which are, sorry, for EULA number, it was 2.7 to 3 billion. Sorry about that. Revenue and the lower proportional burn, as I said, compared to last year. In EdTech, we have Skillbox and Geekbrains, which are also part of this segment, and those have been a clear beneficiary. Those have been clear beneficiaries of the of the COVID crisis. So in the second half, if the situation normalizes, we will obviously see some of that normalization effect as well. So you see there are a few different items here which are affected in different ways by the current trends and the situation as the situation normalizes related to the lockdowns and the COVID crisis. But then we also have a number of new investments which will also be included in this category, and we said that we will continue to invest in those quite heavily, so they will definitely affect our margins in the second half. I don't think we can give any more specific numbers beyond what we have already given, but I think what I said would allow you to project some color into the second half and the expected performance of the overall new initiatives reportable segment.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Vladimir Bespalov from VTB Capital. Vladimir, please go ahead.
Hello, congratulations on good numbers and thank you for taking my questions. My first question would be on your loss from equity accounted investees. Could you please provide some color how much was attributable to the O2O joint venture and to AliExpress Russia? And maybe you could comment why this decreased compared to the last quarter, especially given the pressures and that these assets are in a heavy investment phase right now. My second question would be on some potential M&A deals in the taxi segment. And in particular, are you still interested in the Vizyot asset following the ruling by the anti-monopoly service that blocked the deal between Yandex and Vizio? And the the last one, maybe you provide some update and color on the forgotten asset eForce. What is the status now? What are you going to do with the with this? How things are going to develop? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Solar will take the first question, and then I will continue.
Yeah, so normally, for obvious reasons, we don't break down the share of losses from key joint ventures. However, I think Boris can give you more color on the efficiency trends in the particularly in the O2O joint venture, and we have really seen some increases in efficiency in there.
Yeah. So thank you, Fyodor. So I really don't want, you know, to extrapolate this trend in a too radical way, but generally we indeed saw a very big spike in efficiency, both in terms of the operating metrics. I think both teams did fantastic jobs in operating marketing and delivery operations in delivery club, and City Mobile has done a very good job at managing its operation and cutting costs during the peak of the COVID, as well as Delivery Club also saw a lot of positive tailwinds in terms of consumer demand, which led to a lot of organic traffic and decrease in marketing costs for Delivery Club. So, I mean, this all led to proportionately less burn for this effort. So speaking about the taxi, the Viziot, I mean, we know this asset very well, and you know, I don't want to speculate on specific deals, companies and plans, but as you know, ourselves and our companies, we have always been very open-minded about any investments and any partnerships. So talking about eForce, its metrics have been improving before the COVID. COVID, of course, has done some damage to its metrics, as you know, as the big offline events, especially the Epicenter, which is one of the core events for the company, could not be held this year so far. Also, you know, some of the media advertising parts of the revenue, of course, have also been damaged as a whole advertising market. So this is the current state of the asset. We currently is remains classified as asset held for sale. We have negotiations with potential parties ongoing with some big and reputable international players. So probably this is the whole information I can give you on eForce. So generally, we'll be further considering its strategy and strategic alternatives for this asset. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I just clarify on the joint ventures? Should we expect this stability improvement is and we can see some improvement going forward, or it's too early to speak at the moment?
The picture is very simple. I don't want to give, you know, any like long-term forecasts on the level of investments into this or that effort, but because it's pretty competitively sensitive information. So obviously we do, and all the other shareholders expect and will continue to invest in the assets as we are big believers in this business. But at the same time, what you can see and what you can expect is, of course, very clear efficiencies on the unit economic basis, which of course is a very good sign.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Anna Kurbatova from Alpha Bank. Anna, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and also congratulations with very good results despite very strong challenges during the quarter. I have two questions. First of all, returning to new initiatives, we see that businesses, apart from online education and EULA, delivered almost or nearly 1 billion rubles in revenue during the quarter. So it would be great to understand best performing maybe services there and your expectations for the second half. Was it kind of one-off or it's really a new growing trend? And the second question is about the also the not the deal but the idea or project that was announced almost 1 year ago between you and your partners Megafon, Russian Direct Investment Fund and Alibaba Group. I mean the FinTech and digital payment joint venture. So it would be great to understand why it didn't progress over the last three or four quarters and what your plans in terms of FinTech component and digital payment component for developing your ecosystem in general. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for your question. So I will take both questions. So actually, new initiatives, it is originally a segment designed to reflect our, you know, promising and fast growing up segments. So for I would name three core components. So as we said before, online education has shown fantastic growth in Q2, more than 200% year on year, and is now a significant contributor to new initiatives. We also have B2B services, which are showing very, very material contribution with about 500 million rubles in Q2. And growing several hundred percent year on year, with cloud being the biggest contributor into this component. And it was very much accelerated by COVID, as a lot of companies and enterprises had to scale their operations, and a lot of them moved to mail cloud or increase their capacity. Of course, we also have EULA, which has been pretty resilient during the business and has shown positive year-on-year growth despite the COVID being pretty damaging for the classified business. Generally, it is subject to its the nature of this business and a very big share of general classified and services, right? So EULA is showing 25% year on year, while most of the competitors are down in Q2. So I think guys have done a fantastic job here. So if you think, if you ask about the payment JV, actually there have been no stops and no lack of progress. So the work is done in full. We're working in full steam regime. So generally, as you know, it's quite a complex project involving a lot of parties and a lot of in cross-border negotiation being part of the process. And obviously, COVID led to some well, not delays, but just slow down in the dynamics. But I think now we're very well on track, and we expect you know, not just progress, but completion of this process quite soon, and there are no really changes to the plans that we had announced. We're very optimistic about this project. We think that you know, there is a very very good setup of shareholders, with each of them contributing their transacting user base. So we think that we'll have very good prerequisites to become one of the top player in fintech market. So for us as Mail, it is also pretty important project, as we as it will allow us to boost both our payment processing business, as well as it will allow us to further boost VK Pay as a payment wallet, and it would allow VK Pay to leverage Megafon and AliExpress audience, which will be huge boost both for VK Pay and VK ecosystem. So probably I answered your question here.
Yes, thank you very much. It's very, very useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ildar Davletshin from Wood & Co. Ildar, please go ahead.
Everyone, I wanted to follow up on your last comments around B2B segment within new initiatives and cloud in particular. So it looks like this is a fantastic business in terms of growth. And your comments on kind of overall revenue was quite helpful. I wanted also to understand a bit more if you could talk about the product itself, and in particular your announced partnership with AWS. So, what sort of service would you be offering, and how you plan to structure this joint venture? How much would be maybe a specific software or just storage or any other type of services? And also on profitability, like, do you have any idea of when the business could break even? Like, what sort of the drivers you see there? That would be my first question. And I'll just ask a second one briefly on your ad market, ad revenue. Like, it seems like it is indeed improving better than the market. And I was just wondering, you have made some improvements, like you mentioned a few times, performance-based advertising. Like, on the big picture, like, how much of the improvements, like low-hanging fruit opportunities, have you already captured, in the sense that you made your advertising services more attractive to advertisers? And how much is it still to be done? Like, is it going to be a very modest improvement going forward, or is it? Do you still see a lot of potential to improve your ad service further? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for your question. So I will start with the first one, and then we'll answer about the advertising. So our cloud business is generally it's composed of a couple of components. So it's traditional infrastructure as a service, where you can generally deploy and process your data in our highly scalable cloud, as well as we also deploy a lot of, well, it's PaaS, so we deploy a lot of databases which help you to operate your data online. So you can go to our site and see, so it's a vast array of PaaSes available for the companies. So in terms of the Amazon service, we have launched a new solution to enable Russian and international companies to automatically deploy their clusters simultaneously using both AWS and MCS, which is Mail.ru Cloud solution, automatically. So generally what it means is it's operating partnership which allows a Russian client to, you know, seamlessly scale into international markets, where Amazon has obviously a much better presence, as well as international Amazon clients can get easier access to Russian market via Mail.ru Group Cloud solution. So it's a very lucrative deal. So generally, it makes us more interesting for international clients, as well as for Russian clients who want to scale abroad. So it's very promising, but still a young business. So, you know, we do not have any plan to squeeze any money from it. But generally, B2B is about break even. So I think this is like the broad disposition it will be at for the time being, as we just will reinvest the cash we get into developing the tech and our solutions. But at the same time, it would not require any significant cash burn as well on the other side. So on the other market, you know, we've done a lot in order to improve our solutions. But if you ask me about as the ad market develops, and we have a lot of international players and peers who continue to progress, there are still a lot of fruits that appear to be low-hanging, and we think that there is still a material potential for us to further improve performance and get more revenue in performance advertising.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Uliana Lenvalskaya from UBS. Uliana, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Congratulations on great numbers. I just wanted to follow up firstly on the advertising business. So VK performance was super encouraging. Congratulations. But if you if I adjust the advertising revenue for VK, ex-VK performance would be down like 20%, probably, if my math is correct. Can you please elaborate on those negative drivers? What are the what are those? Is it email, search, or OK? And also perhaps what is the outlook for that XVK advertising revenue into the second half of the year?
So yeah, maybe you know, while further will further will elaborate on like this calculation, because I obviously cannot like quickly comment whether the number is right. So generally, VK has been outperformer because of the formats, because VK is mostly newsfeed and mobile advertising, which is of course the best performer. And as you know, I have been repeatedly saying, these are the biggest beneficiaries of current advertising trends. While some of the other resources, they have like older and the more like display oriented formats. Well, not even older, but more display, less performance oriented formats. And of course, as we said before, display is more significantly affected by the COVID crisis and the crisis in the ad market. So, which is not a surprise. So, generally, it's ads versus performance. It's also a question, partially a question of format. Display versus performance format, and also partially, I think there might be an element of if I'm not mistaken, there will be an element of search, and search has been a significant outlier in terms of like the negative impact of the of the COVID effects on ads.
Yeah, thank you, Boris. That's generally true, but I'll just give a comment on the numbers. I think you're somewhere incorrect in your calculations, probably because you're taking the overall growth number for VK and thinking it's all advertising. VK was actually quite helped by growth in IVAS advertising, in IVAS revenues, and the advertising growth was actually lower than the total revenue growth for VK. So now, excluding VK, it's not minus 20%. We think that we would probably still be above market growth, even excluding VK. In advertising,
I mean. Very helpful. Thank you, Fyodor. Secondly, I wanted to follow up on the cloud business. Can you somehow try to assess your current market share? And more strategically, where do you see Mail in the cloud business in long term?
So you know what, I think that it's still very early days, and the market in Russia is still small, so I would not give you any like any fast assessment of the share. I think the market is pretty small. I think that we are, in terms of the technology and product, I think we are one of the most advanced players. So maybe in terms of the share, we will come back to you later. But I think the market is so in such early days that it's just premature to talk about any shares. I think so far everybody is experiencing very fast growth.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Maria Sukhanova from BCS. Maria, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have only one question left. So in your IFRS financials for the first half, you mentioned that you agreed for a capital allocation of 10.5 billion rubles to invest in the venture capital fund, which is going to invest in tech companies abroad in developed markets outside of Russia. So could you please tell us a little bit more what strategic rationale for that? Maybe who is your key partner in this fund, just to understand who will be making the decisions on the investments. And probably what kind of amount do you expect to invest by the end of the year? Thank you.
So, you know, it's up to this amount of money that we plan to invest within the next 10 years. So, you know, there, I don't think that we see any big and material amount this year. It's probably going to be pretty small. So just to be clear, we are an LP in this fund, so it's not, the GP is not related to Mail, so it is absolutely independent. The idea of this fund is to do two things. First, to get more expertise. It's focused on non-Russian international markets, so the idea is to get more expertise on the latest trend in the markets that are mostly developed in internet and tech products. So we'll be faster to react in Russia. And number two, also to build ties and maybe potentially to better export our tech and products outside of Russia. So we actually already getting a lot of useful information from this fund. So I think this is the key rationale. So generally, we're just an LP.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Catherine O'Neill from Citi. Catherine, please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, on the idea of social commerce and the development of mini apps, I just wondered if you could update us on monetization around that, whether you're monetizing that yet. And if not, what the plans are to monetize and how we should think about the possible revenue models there. And then I also wanted to ask about the SME. I think you said it's about 25% of your ad revenue comes from SMEs. Could you give us an idea of what the size of the SME ad market is in Russia overall and how much of that you think you can capture?
Yeah, thank you. So on SMEs, we will assess. So on the come back maybe, I don't know, now or maybe later we'll follow up. I cannot give you like the exact market share now. So in terms of the mini apps, so mini apps have been growing pretty well, both in terms of usage, they're above 30 million monthly active users. And also they've been growing a lot in terms of like the quality of the usage. So for example, our VK Taxi, it's a mini app for the taxi. Is now on the run rate above 1 million rides per month and is growing really fast. Delivery Club mini app also did a lot of progress, as well as AliExpress Russia, but they are not the only apps that are popular. So overall, there are about 20,000 apps. This is up from about 16,000 apps during last quarter. I mean, they're doing very well. We're big believers. So far, mini apps are just part of the VK ecosystem. As we stated before, within this year, we plan to integrate the mini apps with all the other Mail.ru Group resources, which would significantly increase their, which would significantly address their potential audience. So in terms of monetization, so we currently, there are no immediate plans to monetize. I mean, we have, plans to, and we're like testing advertising products where we will, you know, sell advertising products to the mini app creators, as well as we potentially, you know, considering an ad network within the mini apps. But, you know, there is nothing material now to talk about. And, you know, for us, it's more a question of so far usage and expansion. And also, we don't have any immediate plans to change commission. So as long as the product is growing very nicely. And also we should understand that this product contributes a lot to engagement and time spent, which mostly comes on top of the, you know, core VK usage. And we think by increasing the retention numbers and usage, we see a lot of indirect monetization in terms of, you know, the people spending time and looking, seeing more ads and bringing us more ad revenue. So this is on the mini app side. So probably small and medium sized business. I mean, you know, when you talk about the market, I mean, the general ad market, it's very big. So there are a lot of, you know, parts of it which are online and offline. Probably, you know, digital SMB is much, much bigger than $1 billion opportunity in Russia. And it continues to grow. So probably there would be quite a fair assumption. I think then it's a question of calculation, because, you know, somebody has some loud noises. Can you put it on mute, please? So the overall ad market in Russia, it's about 570 billion rubles. And there are a lot of something that we call hidden SMEs opportunities. These are both classified. These are a lot of online advertising, which are like offline, out-of-home advertisement. And I think this opportunity are also in like billions of dollars potentially. So it's huge.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We currently have no further questions, if you'd like to continue.
Well, thank you very much for all joining us. We really appreciate the time. Tatiana and myself can be found at the usual numbers and emails, and we look forward to speaking to you all in the next few weeks. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.